Welcome to The Urban Complex, a system of interrelated, emotion-charged ideas, feelings, memories, and impulses. This name takes the definition and lays out what a listener should expect. A podcast where ideas, feelings, and memories collide, leading towards meaningful change. I'm co-host Chris Richardson. Please enjoy the journey with The Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
Welcome to The Urban Complex. All opinions by Chris Richardson, Dominic Papa, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Arizona State University or Amazon Web Services. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for any decisions. Any endorsement of or messages from sponsors are solely supporting the production of this podcast. There is no further relationship with the podcast purposes than the sponsors unless separately created with another entity. Enjoy The Urban Complex. Smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow.
Hey Dom, here we are again, and hopefully you didn't forget what you committed to last week. Word of the year, man. What is it?
No, I was kind of giving it some thought, maybe not as much thought as I should have, but I think I'm gonna go with obsessed. So obviously, we announced last week that I just started with AWS, and they're focused on becoming the world's most customer obsessed company. And so I like the word obsessed because you can be obsessed about the customer. You can be obsessed in your own life about your own passions, right? And what you want to do, what you want to accomplish. So I'm just really going to focus more on being obsessed.
It'll be interesting to see how guests respond to AWS and whether that opens doors through our podcast audience. It'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. So I'm going to be focused on, I used to love being passionate about things, but now I'm going to try to be a little bit obsessed about things. So I think it's good.
We'll see what the obsessed Dom is versus the passionate Dom. That'll be funny.
Love it. Awesome. So we'll see how that goes. We'll continue to check in with our audience and see how we're living true to our words of the year. So Chris, who's our guest this week? Who are we talking to and how did we meet her?
Well, so it's Amy Ossaker. She's the executive director of Envision Charlotte. I don't know if you remember, but we talked about Charlotte through one of our guests before, and we were through one of Cracks in Payment. So clearly someone was listening. So we owe a huge thanks to Jim Haskins of the Open Sustainability Collaborative. He actually heard that episode and literally opened the door to Amy about 2 weeks ago. And so we loved it. We always knew that people would bring us guests, and they do. And obviously we get some of the folks that they recommend at the end, but this is great. Guests just out of the blue bring something from at the end of one of our shows and makes it happen. So I'm really excited to learn about Amy and dig into what they're doing in Charlotte.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've been following the Envision Charlotte story for a long time. I just love what they've done. I bet we'll hear more about it. But also Jim's a good guy. Me and him also go way back from his Cisco days. So man, what an awesome guy to continue listening to the podcast, continue to help us out along the way. So thanks a lot, Jim. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Should we bring her in?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from Worldwide Technology.
What if we could connect people to new possibilities, turn thinking into a way forward, solve problems before they become a problem, and share the future with everyone? We can. At WWT, we connect businesses to technology to make the impossible possible, to reach better decisions faster, to accelerate progress. Together, let's make a new world happen.
Hi, Amy. Please let Dom and I give you a warm welcome to our podcast, The Urban Complex. Thanks for joining today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we have found the best way to get to know our guests is just to start. You tell us a little bit about yourself. We want our podcast audience to know about you as a person and your background. And, you know, we'll get to Envision Charlotte in a bit, but because that'll be the focus. But tell us about you.
Sure. So I am Amy Ossaker, the executive director of Envision Charlotte. And I have lived in Charlotte since 96, but I'm originally from Indiana, and I am a Hoosier by birth, Boilermaker by the grace of God. And so I am a huge,
love it.
Huge fan, and I'm very excited this season. So if you know me for 12 seconds, you know that's hugely important to me. So I moved after graduating from Purdue down to Atlanta, And then that company that I work for moved me to Charlotte. So I've seen Charlotte grow over the last, how many ever years? Is that 20 couple of years? And become smarter, more sophisticated, dumber, more challenged, all at the same time. And so my background has always been in fundraising, sales and marketing. And so I worked at the Chamber for years, which really introduced me to the business side of Charlotte. Also, I feel like I'm a tourism host because I know everything about Charlotte. So people come to me, I'm like, here's where you should go eat. Here's where you should stay. Here's where you should bike. So I've got that going because of the Chamber. But I've worked a lot with corporations, which when Envision was looking for an executive director, they were looking for someone who had fundraising experience, which is what I've always done. So that's why they hired me. And that was almost 9 years ago. So since then, I've had a master's course in sustainability and smart city projects. So that's it in a nutshell.
It's amazing. If I would have played my cards differently, I'd probably be living in Charlotte. Honeywell, I know, moved their headquarters there. So
yeah,
I know quite a few folks that ended up there.
Well, you are missing out.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. I'm also born in Indiana. And it's good to also know that if I ever come to Charlotte, I'm going to be hitting up you for all the good food places. So that's perfect.
Yes.
All right. So before we jump into Envision Charlotte, you know, Amy, it's a podcast generally about smart cities. And so, you know, one of our favorite questions, because we know there's no true definition of what a smart city is asking our guests, you know, what's your perspective of smart city? Bringing that, you know, touch of sustainability into this, but talk to us how you approach it. What's your thoughts on what a smart city is? And whether it's working or it's not working, just give us your kind of general description of it.
Yeah, and let me take a quick step back. So the first program that Envision launched was all on energy efficiency, and it was with Duke Energy, the city, and Center City Partners. And so they were able to get 61 of the 64 largest commercial buildings in Charlotte to sign an energy pledge to reduce their energy use by 20%. Put shadow meters in all of the buildings and these giant kiosks. And so all 61 of these buildings, it was 23 million square feet, were sensored up, right? So they put in technology and then they used the data that they got to figure out. And then we launched programs on how to reduce energy use. And we saw a 19.7% reduction in energy use, which was $26 million in savings. So that was kind of, yeah, it was crazy. So that was 11 years ago. So that was kind of before the smart cities words became a thing, I guess, when Microsoft suddenly named it, and then everyone decided they didn't want to be a dumb city, they wanted to be a smart city. So we started getting a lot of calls around, oh, you guys are such a smart city for using all this technology and this data. And we're like, yeah, no idea what you're talking about. So then we started launching into it. We even passed a proclamation with city council that we were going to be a smart city. So the way we've defined it is really using technology and data to make smart decisions and become more sustainable as a city. It's pretty much that. So when we look at all of our sustainability projects, they're much more sophisticated in trying to use that technology and data to drive decisions and become more sustainable and efficient.
That's awesome. I love it. That's kind of, I love the kind of how you kind of fell into it through the efforts that are going. You're like, we're already doing this. This is what we do.
Yeah. What year was that, by the way? I missed that when you started the pledge.
It launched in 2011.
2011.
And they literally, it was launched back when it was okay. But for CGI, it was a Clinton Global Initiative. So they went up there and said, we're going to reduce energy use by 20%. And then they came back and said, oh, okay, now we got to figure out how to do it. And it really was through the technology of those shadow meters in all the buildings.
It's awesome. It's incredible. So you've kind of given us kind of the genesis of Envision Charlotte, it seems, but talk to us a little bit about the organization. You know, what is it? How's it formed? How's it structured? And pretend like our audience doesn't know anything about Envision Charlotte. So also talk about the geographic area it covers. Please give us some background.
Doesn't everybody know about Envision Charlotte?
Yeah.
Come on. All right, but fine. And like there's one person that doesn't. Like I said, it started in 2011. It was formed as a nonprofit, so it stood alone, but it was housed at the time with Center City Partners, which is our downtown association, and highly led by Cisco and, well, Duke Energy led it, but Cisco was a huge partner. So Cisco is the one who put all the technology in all these giant kiosks. AT&T was another partner. But we were a standalone nonprofit. And there was no staff at the time. They had a working board of, you know, different people in the community working on it. And so at the time, through Center City Partners, like, all right, we want to focus on energy, but let's also look at air, water, and waste. And Bank of America gave a big grant to the organization to hire an executive director. So I was hired 2 years after it started. And so picked up on the energy stuff, but then we started launching programs in water, air, although air, I couldn't seem to keep it uptown. It kept floating elsewhere. And wait. And so we, at the time, were really focused on, we call it Uptown Charlotte, because just for people who don't know, Charlotte is the up, the downtown is on a hill. So it's always been called Uptown. So I've focused in Uptown Charlotte. But then again, like I mentioned, air wouldn't stay uptown. You know, water comes from elsewhere. So we have expanded for pretty much all of Mecklenburg is what we serve now. And it's not just focused on uptown. So that was kind of the genesis of looking at it pillar and sustainability, but with all of that technology and smart city type of lens that we would put through everything through.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. And so now, quick question. So the energy company was a big proponent in helping drive this, you know, cause sometimes we're talking to people around the country and they're like, well, the energy company doesn't really want to help us save energy because it put them out of business. So it's good to see an energy company kind of step up and help lead that. I love it. That's a good example.
The old CEO, Jim Rogers, was a visionary, but it is funny because people are like, Amy, how are you telling people to reduce energy use? I'm like, well, because they're very smart, because if they can prove that they help save energy, they can actually pass it back, pass the rate back, so they get forgiveness. Yep. So it's kind of a very big bone in my dog's mouth.
It's perfect.
Great. All right. Well, we've now met the dog. So it seems from your website, there's a focus, a theme on circular economy. Tell us what that's about. What's the significance? How's the work making change?
Yeah. So when we were looking at the different pillars, we did all this stuff where, like with waste, we went and got sensors to put in waste cans so that you could figure out when it was full and how much and volume, and spent a lot of time trying to look at how to use technology in the waste side of things, especially when China stopped taking our waste and everything was upside down. The commodities prices started falling, partly because of contamination. So about 4 years ago, we took the mayor pro tem, the city manager, head of solid waste, a group of us went over to Amsterdam, Rotterdam and Barcelona to look at their waste systems and see how they were doing it different than us. And we met a group called Metabolic, and they talked about the circular economy. And so when you're talking to city leaders and you're like, hey, we can divert stuff from the landfill, reduce CO2, create jobs and innovation, they're like, sign us up. So we hired them on the spot to come and analyze our waste stream. And they gave us the overview of how the circular economy can kind of take over the pillar approach and be more holistic. And so that's how we sort of shifted from air, water, energy, and waste to that more holistic look.
Awesome.
And they gave us 5 short-term recommendations. First of all, build an innovation center, check, which we have, and then focus on plastics, organics, textiles, and concrete. Those are like the big things that are going to our landfill that you could divert, create jobs, innovations. And so that's, we're not really focused on concrete, but the other three are kind of our primary focuses.
Awesome.
Gotcha. And have you met Ron Gonin along the way? He's in New York. He ran New York's waste, and he was a guest on our podcast. What's that?
Is he closed loop now?
Closed loop partners. Yeah. I just seemed like what you're talking about. So there'd be some overlap there. Okay. So when we heard about your work, we also heard that there was some amazing results from gamification. Tell us what did you do? How'd you make it happen? What are the results? And I think it's around a smart sea initiative, but I could be wrong. So.
Yeah. So, it's funny because it's full circle. So we did gamification when we were doing the energy efficiency program. So we did a couple. First of all, there's the building management side, just on how you reduce energy use by different lighting or looking at your systems, all that kind of stuff. But then we engaged the tenants and the owners on behavior. And so Duke did a lot of work with MIT, and the kiosks were actually to show people how their energy use changed over time. The problem is it's very hard to say, do you go year over year, day, week over week? And it's all over the place. So it's hard to show efficiency. So we learned a lot that the kiosks were not, visualization did not work in this sector. But we played games like, my favorite example is we played this game called Crab It, You're It. We give out all these crabs because crabs go to the light. And if you left your light on in your office, you would get crapped. You get a crap.
I love it.
So the government center like went way too hard in this game. I mean, we were like sending just boxes of craps and everyone was crabbing each other. And so then someone was like, could we maybe not punish people? What if we rewarded people for their behavior? So we came up with a game called The Biggest Flipper. And it's if you flipped your light off, you got a flip or a flip-flop, right? Epic fail. Nobody. So the moral is, especially at the government center, they really like to punish their coworkers and not reward them. So we went through a lot of different games in terms of individuals like the crab at your it. We also did floor by floor, pizza parties, education. And, you know, it was kind of hit or miss what worked and didn't work. Duke did a lot of interesting studies, too. And one of the things that they did is on your energy bill, it'll tell you how you rank compared to your neighbors. Mm. And that they have found basically shaming is one of the most effective ways to do change.
Totally.
So one of the things, the new program we're working on, gamification, is we have a new recycling program that hopefully we did a pilot last year, and we're going to, hopefully if things go right in the next 2 months, you'll hear a big announcement that we're going to scale this up. But we had smart bags. So it goes back to using smart technology. They were they're bags that have a tag that has an RFID chip and a QR code. And one bag only takes PET. One bag only takes aluminum. Mm. You go on to a website, you request a bag. When you get it, you register your bag, you fill it up, you send it back to us. We dynamically route, pick it up. We inspect it. If it has all the right stuff, we reward you with points. So we've been working through what will those points look like? You know, would they be discounts? One of the things that's really interesting is the company that may fund this has shareholders. So could you give micro shares to the participants, right? And now they're shareholders in the company where the materials are being returned to. So we'll be getting a lot more into gamification with this app that we'll be rolling out hopefully later this year.
Wow. Wow.
Right. Yeah, I love it. It's such a great idea. I can't wait. Look forward to hearing more. So, you know, Amy, a lot of regional initiatives are really gaining kind of momentum across the country with them popping up kind of all over the place to help drive this sort of civic innovation and collaboration model. You've talked to us a little bit about how kind of Envision Charlotte started, but maybe, I mean, do you have a couple pieces of advice for maybe other leaders around the country that are thinking about starting their own regional initiatives? What really helped you get moving, or what are maybe one or two pieces that they should really focus on first before, you know, really getting a head start on it?
Well, for us, it's been a couple things. It's don't boil the ocean. So like our energy project was so focused. It was only commercial buildings. It was only, you know, commercial buildings, 20,000 square feet or more. That was it. And then, so I think being laser focused and not trying to do too many initiatives, because I talked to so many groups and like, we're doing this and we're doing this and we're doing this. And we're doing that. And you're like, yeah. For us, that meant success. The other thing is we've been really good at bringing private sector together with the public sector, but also education, utilities, and figuring out what the cross section is that is the win for everybody. So like in the energy project, obviously Duke needed to reduce energy and show it to the regulators. UNC Charlotte came in and they actually did the data analysis, because Duke didn't want just anyone seeing the data, but you bring in students, you're educating them, you know, that's a win. You bring in the companies who are saving money, you know, and you can show them you're saving this much money over this. So I think it's finding the initiative, really being narrow in the scope, and then figuring out what the win is for each group. And if there isn't a win for that group, that might not be the project they need to be in on.
Right. That's awesome. Yep. I absolutely love that, because we struggled with that in Greater Phoenix. We kind of wanted to boil the ocean at first. I love it. Be laser focused and then create that win. And I love that last part, because not everyone needs to be around the table. Right. And to your point, I just want to reiterate that, because I think it's a good piece of advice. If there's not a win for them, they don't need to be at the table for this project. Doesn't mean they're kicked out of off the island. They're booted off the island. They just don't need to be at this project. So that's perfect. I just didn't want to have our audience lose sight of that. So Amy, talk to us about the Innovation Barn. What is it and how does it kind of fit into this broader picture?
It is like one of those, I look back, I'm like, I cannot believe we actually accomplished that. That's pretty good. It's all in the car. So when we were over in Amsterdam and they were saying you need to build an innovation center, the city manager goes, hey, we have this old barn. We'll give it to you. I'm like, yeah, that sounds amazing. Okay, so the barn is, it actually, lore is that it had the horses from the, I don't know, the police department, or I don't know, maybe cattle that picked up, you know, trash years ago, but it's always been called the barn. And is a 36,000 square foot nasty old building where it was. And so they also, the city also gave us money to upfit it, not enough. So we only ended up doing half the building and it's very skimpy. But we, it took us about 3 years and we had, we brought in our smart city partners. So like one of them, Signify, they did all the lights and the lights are PoE lights, power over Ethernet. And so we're trying to bring in some of that really interesting technology. But then the barn itself is to push forward circular economy initiatives. So we have an aquaponic garden where we have tilapia in a big fish tank and the wastewater goes over and feeds the lettuce and we grow 700 heads of lettuce per week. We have soldier fly composting. It's a pilot where soldier fly larvae eat organics very rapidly and any organics. And then you can sell those grubs for high value product. We have a plastics lab. So this is where we're taking takeout plastic containers. We have a collection site. We chip it down. We make filament for 3D printers. So we can make PPE during the height of needing, you know, PPE. And now we've shipped it over. We can make bricks. So anything that you use a cinder brick for, you can use this plastic brick. We have kind of a micromurph. So we process plastics and aluminum for Coca-Cola Consolidated. And then we have a wood waste center where we take wood and use it at its highest best use. So we have furniture in there, high-end furniture from all the Charlotte trees, because we have the second largest urban tree canopy cover in the US. So we have a lot of trees that come down every year, or every day actually. We have mushroom gardens. We have Electrolux donated a full teaching kitchen. So there are full four stations for teaching people how to extend the life of food, canning, that sort of thing. We have a coffee shop. And of course, we have a bar. You have to have beer and wine. Like, right? I mean, I'm not going to go somewhere that doesn't have alcohol. But the idea is to bring in corporations, get them talking to make projects around the circular economy, engage entrepreneurs. So we have a lot of startups, engage the public. So it's a drop-off place. It's a very cool place.
And with all that going on, you have time to have a drink?
Yeah. You need it, Chris. You need
I know. It. I got it. I figured.
Do you think this is water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, have you produced anything that you've drank either in the coffee shop or the bar from your facility?
Not yet.
But not it's planned. Yet. I can tell. Check that out.
Maybe.
That's awesome. I love it. Wow. What a great. I can't wait. I need to come out there and check it out. It sounds like a lot of fun. You know, we've talked extensively on this podcast about, you know, successful smart city, smart region initiatives and the importance of kind of a strong, passionate leader. Talk to us about, you know, you've talked to us a little bit about your role as the executive director, fundraising, kind of leading. I mean, talk to us more about, you know, what do you see is key in your position as the executive director and really driving this forward?
So my favorite thing, well, I like to win. And so going back to what you said about getting everyone to have their win, I love figuring out how Electrolux, right? So just to give you an example. So Electrolux, their number one sustainability issue is reducing food waste. Mm. So when they build their appliances, it's how to preserve food, how to use it in different ways. They're very intentional on their sustainability goals. Sealed Air's number one initiative for sustainability is food waste, reducing food waste because they have all the plastics. And so one of the things we were able to do is bring those two together to start talking about how they could create a plastic to help keep the life of food longer in the refrigeration. So for me, I think it's bringing the, seeing the dot, being able to connect dots and bring the right people to move a big project forward. And sometimes that's technology. So in the waste industry, there's just not a lot of technology. So one of the things that we're looking at is how do you bring in the smart city technology like sensors and like the apps and dynamic routing and all of those systems. But then you bring in the partners, like the people who want the materials back. Sealed Air wants their bubble wrap back. Coca-Cola wants their plastic and aluminum back. So you can bring all those people together and you have a much better chance of success. But again, they all have to have something in it that's going to win. Publicity, you know, getting materials back or community sponsorship, whatever it is. I love finding the wins and exploiting them.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you've talked a lot about what you've done. Let's talk, you know, it's early 2022, New Year's resolutions, kind of, you know, talk about what's big on the horizon. What should we expect from the Charlotte Envision Charlotte going forward?
Oh, if you hadn't said Envision Charlotte, I was going to give you my, I'm going to drink more water.
Water, and drink more water. We can come back to you in a minute. We'll do it.
Yeah, so we're in a really interesting place right now. So the pilot project I told you about with the smart bags and the waste, it's called Smart Sea Recycling, Smart Connected Recycling. We are working with somebody who may underwrite this program. And if they do, that's our focus. We'll get some of the barn stuff going, and then we will be laser focused on getting this program stood up, because it's significant. And this company wants to not only get this going in Charlotte, but other cities around the country. I'm already looking at what other cities would be targeted.
Awesome.
A very big bone that my dog just.
They're reinforcing how big this is. I'm just going to reinforce this item by dropping this massive bone right here, so everyone focuses on this part. So massive project, make it happen.
Yeah. So that's kind of, like I said, that's going to change everything. If that doesn't come through, then I think one of the projects we would probably look at next would be around textiles. There's a huge opportunity. You know, North Carolina has a lot of old textile mills. And so is there something we can do to take a lot of the textiles, partnering with a Goodwill to repurpose those and keep those out of the landfill? So textiles might also be a part of it, but it could be more of a higher priority for us. It just depends on how this one funder, they come in. So put good vibes out there.
Back to your skills, right? You know how to raise money. You know how to look big. I'm sure you've got some win-wins in it for them. And, you know, I think we need to add on to the list of having, looking on the horizon too. That's great. Well, so we do like to ask some standard questions. And one's just, if we could help, what do you need to do more? And that might not necessarily be our doors that we open or connections, but you never know. I don't know if you know Deborah Lamb down south. She's doing some interesting similar things in Atlanta. I'm sure, I figured you knew. And like Ron, we mentioned earlier, but if someone was listening as a peer or a potential partner, what is it that you'd hope they'd reach out to you with? What could we do to open a door to help?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is looking for companies that are in the circular economy that want to look at projects at a really high level. So one of the things in Charlotte that we're looking at doing is we have all these groups that they're focused on the arts or they're focused on economic development. But I want a really high level group that can move the needle in a big way for a community. And so we're working on that right now, like a CEO roundtable. But any company that wants to look at the circular economy specifically, Charlotte is a good playground right now. And as a part of that is looking at how we can use materials that are going to the landfill. So, you know, Trex does a great job of using, you know, milk cartons, but there may be companies out there that I don't know about that need a material that we could provide. Sand, like what companies need sand? Because we can produce a lot of sand from glass. And that's a huge issue for the US right now. We need to recycle glass. We need to make it into sand, and we need that sand to be used locally. You don't want to truck sand across country because it's heavy and CO2 emissions. So if anyone listening who is in the circular economy, who knows of materials they need, or big companies that can partner with other big companies to make some big changes.
Awesome. I love it. We had Kamal Doshi from Ann Arbor, and their program did something similar around kind of the future of the automotive mobile, you know, and you can just see how much momentum they have by getting those people together. So good luck on that. And finally, we know you can't do these things on your own. Is there anyone you want to highlight that you're particularly appreciative that's helped you along the way in your journey? And of course, selfishly, if they might be a great guest on the Urban Complex, please call that out too.
Oh my goodness. Okay. You're gonna have to give me a second. I didn't think about that one.
No worries. I figured you'd have a list. So
well, you know, it's funny. There's so many, honestly, like my math teacher. I know that's crazy. Mrs. Keene from eighth grade.
Awesome.
I could not, math did not work in my head until eighth grade. And literally she flipped a switch to the point where I loved math so much that I went to Purdue in actuarial science. And it really has changed everything because I spend a lot of my time on business plans and math. Like the last 2 weeks, my spreadsheet is ridiculous on the algorithms and mathematic calculations that I've done for this company to show that this program would work. So
it really is a big investment they're thinking.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's big. It's got a couple commas. but she's not around anymore. I was trying to think of somebody in Charlotte or the list is endless. I mean, Bob Brazillo. Do you guys know Bob?
Yeah, Bob's great. I love Bob.
He's been one of my partners and he is like, he knows, he can just help you with anything. You call, I need a bottle of wine, he can tell you to. I need a sensor for a toilet and he can find it. You know, like he's been amazing. I mean, Jim Haskins has been awesome. Yeah.
And we have to, we owe thanks to Jim Haskins for introduction to you. So that's great.
Yeah. So, and there was Dan, and I'm trying to remember Dan's last night. And the reason his name is just Dan, he called me from the White House, the Obama White House, to do Envision America. And he was amazing, but it was always just Dan from the White House. Dan from the White House just called. So he gave us a huge platform with Envision America as one of their big programs that they rolled out in their Smart City Initiative.
Wow.
Very cool. Awesome. So,
yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us with that. The Urban Complex gives a big note of thanks to today's guest, Amy Osker, Executive Director of Envision Charlotte. Appreciate you joining.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Support for this episode of The Urban Complex comes from MST.
MST is a Salesforce certified integrator. We work on building customer experience solutions and deploy them for our customers. As we started evolving, our why also continued to evolve as a company. Over the last 3 years, the whole approach was really revolving around what we call 3 C's, which is customers, colleagues, and community.
All right, Dom, that was Amy. What'd you think of the show?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I think that was, you know, there were so many great pieces of advice that she had through her work with Envision Charlotte that I think people around the country, if they're trying to replicate Envision Charlotte or the regional collaborations around smart cities, you could easily take these pieces of advice and run with them. So, I mean, first and foremost, getting started, being laser focused, and really creating those win-win-win situations with the right partners around the right initiatives. Two things right there that if you focused on and really nail down, you're going to be successful, at least in the short term with your efforts. I think that can't be understated because I agree. I've seen so many people try to have a really broad focus and they end up trying to be everything for everybody and they really never get anything done. And so it's very, very difficult. And then the second part is you always think that you have to have everyone around the table. Everyone's going to have a voice. Well, you end up just slowing yourself down or not getting anything done. Be smart, be laser focused, and only bring the people around the table that you need to get the project done or get the project moving forward. So I just thought those were two things. And then maybe the last thing I want to hit on when we talked about the executive director, the leader that you're looking for, this idea of being a connector, right? You have to understand that, you know, this organization is really focused on this. This is what they're going to benefit out of it. Oh, and this organization over here is doing something different, but there's an opportunity for them to actually work together. You have to be that connector because many times these organizations don't know each other or don't have the time to talk to each other. And so if you're trying to do something special, you need to be the one that brings these two people together, these two organizations together. You need to be that connector. So look for the connector personality.
And I think, you know, those are all great things of what the leader brings to make it happen. But if they don't have the next thing, I think they can fizzle out. They can be like one hit wonders, meaning if you don't have the vision to keep it going, then how do you bring in the next thing? And I think they've done great. The reason why I threw out Kamal, the reason why I threw out, Deborah Lamb is they have visions. Kamal's years into it, right? What they're doing in Ann Arbor, Deborah and what they're trying to do with, farming is earlier. We'll have to see how that plays out. But similarly, they've got this circular economy focus. And so she's thinking big on how to make this, big investor fit into all those things you said, right? How do we get a win-win? How do we make sure that it's gonna work? And how do we make sure we have the right people at the table? But I also think you need that vision so that it keeps compounding. I mean, remember with Kamal's discussion, they had assets they built 10 years ago that are paying dividends forever now that really make it difficult, where that same company won't go to a different city because that's the only place they can get it. And I think they uniquely can do this in circular economy. And I think, that innovation barn, was your head just swimming when they were explaining? That's not what like Galvanize is here in the Valley innovation slice. They what'd they say? They got an old barn given to them for free. They couldn't uplift the whole thing. They turned it into all these circular projects. They've got tilapia farming, which is highly intensive, but it's very protein oriented. I know a bit about aquaculture. I used to run shellfish hatchery. And then they take the bits of the fish and they feed lettuce to actually get another crop out of that. They've got soldier fly larvae eating organics and selling the grubs. Like, I was just like, seriously, that's the innovation barn. It's amazing. They've got a plastics lab that creates 3D filaments. They've got, their own micromers for creating the processing of stuff, wood waste, mushroom gardens, and even she was talking about electric lux and how they can extend food production with, the seal air. Like, to me, that is big picture thinking. You know the type of community you want. You know how to attract those entities. You also know how to work it back into the non-group that's not on the cutting edge. I don't know. I think that what they're doing in Vision Charlotte is spot on.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm excited to see if she's able to land. I'm probably sure she's going to be able to land that funder. And so we're really excited to see kind of what 2022 holds for her in a Vision Charlotte. It's going to be great. Hopefully it's something we can replicate. Yep. Awesome. So let's pivot to cracks in the pavement. Anything for us this week, or what's the article?
Yeah, I found one that, it's broad, but it's 8 trends shaping cities in 2022. So let's just run through what the trends are.
Yeah.
Crime and policing will continue to be top of mind for local leaders. Check.
Yep.
I'm sure that one's going. Yep. Transit agencies will continue to focus on equity. We've heard that from guests, so I can imagine that will continue. Let's see. Smart city leaders will continue to collaborate across regions and organizations. I mean, you're making it happen, and what you were doing before you went to AWS, hopefully you can keep it going. In fact, they referenced the National Smart Coalition Partnership. Yep. Let's see. Worker shortages will persist in transit as well. I think worker shortages is tough all over the world.
Yeah.
Let's see. That's a long one. Micromobility will work to become integral to urban transportation systems.
Yep.
I can see why you'd want the local routes to highlight it for sure. Urgent need for climate adaptation is spurring nature-based solutions. Fits right back into what she was just talking about. Amy's team. Cities will aim to address housing affordability issues the pandemic has exacerbated. We know we need that here in Phoenix. It's been a nuts couple years.
Yep.
And then electrification in transportation and buildings will become even more mainstream. So
it's right back in the Vision Charlotte too, where they started. Right?
For sure. Any of those you want to riff on for a minute? I know we're getting close to wrapping up here, but
no, I think that last one, electrification, it's massive. I know every state's planning their strategy on how they're going to electrify their transportation systems. That's going to be huge. A lot of federal investment, especially with Biden and Mayor Pete, are going to go towards the electrification aspect of it. I'll skip over the regional collaborations because I think we talk about it through the show enough. But the micromobility, I think cities are trying to stop the sprawl and start to bring people back into tighter communities where they can live, work, learn, and play all in the same area. And so in order to do that, you need really good micromobility solutions because especially like regions like Phoenix, you're not going to walk two blocks in 114 degree heat in the summer. And so you need scooters, you need shuttles, you need all these sorts of micro mobility solutions. I see city leaders across the country talking about that all the time.
Yeah. And in closing, the other thing is just equity in general. You know, at our Smart Region event, it was digital equity was there, yep. Whether it's equity for transportation, which was the one they highlighted, or back to housing. People want to feel like they can contribute, be part of it. They want to find their home that they live in, that they own, or they want to find the right place to rent. And, you know, people don't feel that they're part of it if it's not theirs. There's going to be a tough issue. Like, there's a lot of stratification. So, you know, I think it was a great set. And hopefully we get some feedback from folks on what they view of the eight trends.
Yeah, well, cool. This is great.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. That's a wrap. We'll see you next time on the Urban Complex. Thanks for joining.
See you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Urban Complex, smarter cities for a stronger tomorrow. Please find us on where you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. We do love your feedback. Let us know if you have ideas for guests or questions to air on Cracks in the Pavement via social media. The Urban Complex is found on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Or just shoot me an email, chris@theurbancomplex.com. Till next time.